KSDP, 830 AM in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in Falls Pass, and KKQ.
Call the special assembly meeting to order. Roll call, please. You can't hear me?
Chris?
Can you hear me?
I'm here.
You're muted.
Yes. Okay, perfect. You're muted.
I can hear you, Lauren.
Okay, my computer's muted. I'm joined as well. Okay, so sorry. So Chris is here. Jim?
Here.
Warren? Josie? Okay. Paul?
Yes.
Brenda? Tom?
Yeah.
We have a quorum.
Okay. Thank you. So, who's all in the King Cove office?
In Cosine.
Oh, Samantha, so sorry. I'm here. She's here.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, here in King Cove, we have me, we have Seward Brandel Jr., and we have Jackie Brandel.
Okay. Cole Bay. Nelson Lagoon.
Just me.
Thanks, Sam. False Pass.
Nicole, Carlene, and Tom.
Thanks, Tom. Sandpoint is Jim, Paul, and Alvin. Accutan. Anchorage.
Yes, Mayor Ashback, there's myself, Annie, Glenora, Ernie, and Charlotte.
Okay, thank you.
I didn't catch how many voting assembly members are present.
You want to read through who's all there on the assembly again, Glenora?
Yeah, right now we have four, so there's Chris, Jim, Paul, and Tom.
Brenda just showed up.
And Brenda looks like she just got here, so we now have five.
Yeah, Brenda's here.
Thank
you. Okay. So we need a motion to adopt the agenda.
This is Brenda. I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Brenda.
Thank you.
I'll second it, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. Is there any corrections to the agenda? Hearing none. Unless there's an objection, the agenda will stand as written. Public comments at this time?
Ms. Mayor, just a quick question. Are we scheduled to receive an update from the superintendent of schools on the budget or not?
I don't think so. I think he might be in transit or something, or he's in King Cole.
Okay, just curious. Also, thank you.
Anyone feel like they have a conflict of interest? Not everybody at once? Okay. So we have minutes of the May 8th, 2025 assembly meeting. We need a motion and a second.
This is Brenda. I'll make a motion to accept those minutes as presented.
I'll second it.
Okay. Second by Jim. So everybody had a chance to look over the minutes. You see any corrections or anything needs to be done? Hearing none. If there's no objections, the minutes will stand as written. We need a motion and a second to bring the financials of April 25th to 4th.
I make a motion. This is Chris. We bring the financial report to the floor for discussion.
This is Brenda. I second.
Thanks, Brenda. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Ashback and Assembly. In the packet are the financial statement or financials for April 30, 2025. This is 10 months into our fiscal year. The only item I'll items, I guess I'll point out, is on the first page. The AAB raw fish tax came in at $128,252, which is about 49% of the previous five-year average and 56% of the 10-year average. So we're following that trend of just it being quite a bit less than what we're accustomed to. The other item is the interest revenue that did come in at $101,883. That's about $16,000 less from our March amount we received, and I believe that's largely in due to the fact that the second 10% Actian Harbor payment was made, so that we weren't getting interest off of that payment or that money any longer. So I would suspect that the interest revenue will follow this trend from here on out. Other than that, I don't have any other comments. If there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thanks. Any questions?
Paul? I have one quick one, Annie, on the top of the revenue page on the period actual at 128,000 AEB raw fish tax. What season does that represent? What species of fish were delivered during that period?
For April, is that what we're talking about? Yeah, the majority is pollock, but closely followed by cod, and then there's a small amount of octopus.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? Okay, hearing none. Thank you, Amy. So your investment report is in packet.
Motion.
We have nothing in the consent agenda. And
Alvin? Yeah. We need to make a motion on the financials.
Oh, we did.
Oh, I mean, that vote. Sorry, a vote.
Yeah, see, it's what happens when I don't have a clerk sitting here kicking me in the leg. So. Okay. So, anyway, back to the financials. Are you going to call the question on the motion?
Yeah. So, Tom?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so before us we have public hearing on Ordinance 2504. So this is the second reading on adopting the operating capital budget for fiscal year FY.
That's the report was observed. Did you note that in reading?
Yeah. I told you guys it was in there for your review. Did you have questions on it?
No, I didn't know if you missed it.
Oh, no. I didn't bring it up, but I was just way ahead of myself.
Yeah.
So can't let the clerk be ready for your meeting. Okay. So anyway, so before us, we have a public hearing. This is the second reading, Ordinance 2504, adopting the operating and capital budget for fiscal year 2026. So we need a motion and a second.
Bring it. This is Brenda. I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Brenda.
I'll second it, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Yes, sir. You handed me a proposed amendment for my a simple amendment with some changes. So would now be a good time to bring the agenda up to speed with the amendment.
Yeah, I was going to ask Annie, did you want to go through anything or go ahead and have this brought up for an amendment?
Let's go through the thing first and then make it.
Okay.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so in the packet are all the information regarding Ordinance 2504. There is a agenda statement, a rather long one. There is the consumer price index information. There's some new information that was not presented at the last meeting in regards to health insurance, because we did get that information late last week. There's the letter from the superintendent and the ordinance, and then the Excel spreadsheet type budget showing all the changes. So those six documents in front of you. Just a few updates since our last meeting, which occurred on May 8th, which was when the budget was introduced. There has been quite a bit of action at the state level
On May 20th, which was Tuesday, the Alaska legislature did approve their operating budget with a $1,000 dividend. It also still kept in there the 25% reduction in the school bond debt reimbursement, so that has been approved. And the legislature also voted to override Governor Dunleavy's veto on the education bill. So the vote means the Alaska Education Funding Formula will be permanently and significantly increased for the first time since 2017, and that amount was a $700 BSA increase. So those are two changes, or two things that have occurred since the May 8th meeting that I just wanted to go over. The other item is regarding community assistance. In February 2025, the borough did receive a letter from the state of Alaska stating that we would receive $254,095 in community assistance in FY26 and $10,609 in revenue sharing for Nelson Lagoon. And the Nelson Lagoon money routes through the borough, which we then in turn give to the village. But when I was speaking with Mark Hickey on May 15th, he said that we should be at least getting $300,000 in community assistance based off statute. And I did go back and make a phone call to the state to check, and they said that there was a glitch in the system, and that the borough should be receiving $314,445 in community assistance, and Nelson Lagoon should receive $15,789. So there is a motion that has been presented to an assembly member to make those changes. It will change six things in the budget, with the total revenue, total expenditures, et cetera. But that change was identified in mid-May, and I think it would be appropriate time to make that change at this meeting. Other than that, the other item to discuss is the health insurance. As I stated at the last assembly meeting, I just assumed a 20% increase. At this time, I'm not going to ask the assembly to make a final change since I don't have exactly the final numbers, but on May 14th, administration received the 2025 renewal rates for health insurance and dental insurance. We received one Premiera renewal option that has a $500 deductible and an out-of-pocket individual maximum of $7,000. And there were multiple options for the Alaska Municipal Health Trust. But after reviewing those, we, the administration, just focused on the AMHT Fairweather plan, which has a $250 deductible and is extremely similar to what we currently have for health insurance now. Both had dental insurance was included on both, and there is a breakdown of what was presented. However, these numbers may change slightly, which is why I'm not asking to do an amendment now, but they will go up approximately 4% for the Premier Plus Gold plan and 8% for the AMHT Fairweather plan. After reviewing this and having discussions with our insurance brokers and others, administration does suggest that we switch over to the Alaska Municipal Health plan and go to the Fairweather plan for this upcoming fiscal year. A few things about this AMHT plan: that this is associated with the Alaska Municipal League, so AML, who has partnered with Acushur and Premier to create more access to affordable health coverage for AML members. The borough would be required to sign a co-sponsor participation agreement, which is a requirement at enrollment. The proposal assumes fees, rates, and factors are intended for a 12-month policy period, which would start on July 1st and end June 30th, which is similar to what we're doing now. And if we did decide to terminate coverage with the AMH plan or the Alaska Municipal Health plan, we'd be required to wait 24 hours before being able to re-enter. There's also minimum contributions, which is you have to have 75% for eligible employees, which we cover 100%, so that's not a problem. And we also have to pay a minimum of 50% towards the total cost of the program, which as of right now, that's not a problem either, as we cover 100%. And then the last item that's a little different is there is a $5 per employee per month administrative fee that would be paid to AML when the dues are, when our AML member dues are, have to be paid. So that would also be a new requirement. I believe that's about $960 to do that. So those are some changes between what we're currently under in this grandfathered plan and what we would be moving into. So like I said, I'm waiting for the updated numbers, but I do highly recommend the AMHT Fairweather plan. And if there's any questions on this, please let me know before I move on.
Okay. Thank you, Annie. So you want to entertain an amendment now?
I know there's at least three questions. I'm not sure if it pertains to the amended budget, or might be good to ask them now in case we have to add something.
Go ahead.
Okay. Annie, there's three resolutions coming up that has to do with budget items. Or if we adopt any or all three of those, are they now in the budget already, or how do those resolutions work with our budget?
So the only resolution that actually has to do with the budget itself is Resolution 2557, which would authorize the FY26 permanent fund earning appropriation. The other two are just for projects, and those don't impact the budget directly. So
would we have to amend the budget for that one item then too?
No, it's already in here. So what's being proposed to cover our borough budget deficit is to appropriate the FY26 permanent fund earnings, which is in the amount of $1,816,333. That's what that resolution's for, and that's already included in this budget.
Okay. So do you have other things you want to cover before we do the amendment?
Well, I was wondering if there were any questions on the health insurance before I move on. Is there any specific questions on the health insurance at all? It's a lot of information.
Chris?
Tom was before me. Go ahead, Tom. No, I just say, is that a savings like $16,000 on a premium for health insurance? That's all I had. Thank you.
I'm sorry, I couldn't understand the question. What was the question?
I said, is that a savings of about $16,000 for a premium for health insurance? Is that what that's telling me?
So the insurance rates actually increase, but we have one less person that's at the borough, so it shows a savings, but really our health insurance rates are increasing. It's just we have one less employee, so it shows it at less. So yes, there is a savings overall, but just keep in mind the health insurance rates did go up.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Chris?
Yeah, I just had a quick question. So you said that this plan, if we go through the AMLGIA and adopt what their health plan is, it's kind of basically the same as what we have now. So are we still going to be able to get the same, I mean, is this insurance still going to work with the same doctors and stuff that we're using today with the health insurance that we have at the borough right now?
I can't 100% answer this with certainty because I wouldn't know. You'd have to call probably and ask your health insurance provider, but the plan is still through Premera. So I would assume, and this is just an assumption, please keep that in mind, that the doctors that you go to now would still be covered under the same plan. But I can't 100% guarantee that. You would have to ask. But it is a Premier plan, and I would assume that it would cover the same things it's covering now. There's just some minor differences. Both plans, the Premier Plus Gold plan, if we just went through Premera, and the AMHT plan are slightly different than our current coverage. They're going to be because that plan that we're currently under no longer exists. But I would assume, Chris, that it would, but don't quote me on that.
Wait, is there any place where we can get information on this AMHT Fairweather plan, I mean, or the program? Is there anywhere on the internet that we could go
through? Well, I can forward you, after the meeting, I can forward you all the, I mean, there's some stuff here in the packet that shows what's covered. So it's in here already, but I can definitely send you a more detailed breakdown as well. But it does show it. Do you mind going to that page? Just one second. We're going to the page. It's a very long memo, guys. Sorry. So we can zoom in. So here is the differences that you can see between the three options. The current plan is the second column. That's what we currently have, that HSPPO 250 GF with VIS. But the plan I'm suggesting is the one on the far right. Most of it's the same. You can see there that the deductible and the out-of-pocket max is actually less than what we've currently got. But there's some differences with, like, percentages for in and out of service coverage there that you can see on this page. Both have vision and dental we would have as well, which is a separate cost, but we would be continuing dental coverage too.
Okay, no, if you could give me a link, because I've got a prescription that's pretty expensive, and right now Premier is covering it, and I just wanted to make sure that still was going to be the same thing with going with this new insurance policy. So thank you.
Yeah, and basically after this meeting, if it's okay, I have to bind coverage by July 1st. So the suggestion is to go with the AMHT plan. So if you guys feel very strongly not to, you should tell me now, because I have to bind coverage before July 1st. Otherwise, we won't have coverage at all. So.
I want you to scroll up some.
Or the other way, the other direction. There we go. Don't go too fast. Thank you.
And down there, Chris, if you look in the third column, there's prescription drugs on the bottom of that page. It's tier 1, 2, and 3, which I think are like generic, brand, like, and then name brands are 2 and 3. Yeah, brand preferred and brand non is there for tier 1, 2, and 3. But it goes off percentages rather than dollar amounts. So there might be a slight change on that. But that would be a difference.
And just scroll a little bit more, perhaps. I was looking for the dental part, just so I could compare.
That's on the next page.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So on this one, it's given just two options. The second column is what we have, and we believe that's what would be carried over. And the one on the right is the AMHT option. Really, they're very similar in coverage. I think the only difference might be something to do with orthodontics.
So Annie, on that previous slide, was the old plan on that slide so we could compare what? Yes. Okay. The middle one. Okay. All right. That's all I got. Thanks.
So my plan for health insurance is to bind coverage, like I said, before July 1st. If I don't do that, we don't have health insurance, which would be very problematic. So what I'm suggesting is the AMHT Fairweather. Okay. Let me know if there's any other questions on that, if you have thought of anything before the end of this. So otherwise, just a few other highlights back to the memo or GEM statement. Education, that has not changed. The request will stick at the $1,355,000 for education. And then really everything else has stayed the same. So the one item that made a motion at the last meeting was to include $10,000 for KSDP. That is included in this ordinance because that was made via motion. That's what's been adopted for a public hearing. So that change has also been made. And just to highlight one last time, that this page right here shows the expected revenues, expected expenditures, and how we are making up for the $2.6 million deficit is transferring the $624,061 from the FY25 permanent fund earnings. You approved that at the last assembly meeting via a resolution. And then the $1,816,333 permanent fund earning allocation for FY26 would be appropriated to cover the deficit. And then as of right now, without making any changes, there would be the transfer of this $400,000 over to cover the remaining balance. So we do come out with a balanced budget, which we are obligated to do. And if there are any other questions, please let me know.
Other questions for Annie? Okay, so we'll entertain,
Mr. Mayor. I'd like to amend the budget, the budget ordinance, and the amendment is the one that Annie gave you, and then you showed it to me. That's what I call it. Looking at it, it's a simple amendment, but it's okay. I'll make the motion and I'll read really quickly.
Yeah.
Okay. I would amend that the budgets. See, there's one. That's a, just 1 second. I'll explain. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 items. Okay. I would amend that the change the FY26 proposed budget under community assistance changes from, and that's revenue, from $254,095, increasing the to $314,445. And under general fund expenditures, the proposed budget fiscal year 2026 from $10,609 to $15,789, and change total revenues from $4,573,205 to $4,633,555, and change total general fund amount from $4,550,509 to $4,555,689, and change total expenditures from $4,784,352 to $4,789,532, and changes the transfer and savings from $400,731 to $345,561.
Okay, thank you. So for us, we have a motion for changes to the budget. Please second.
I'll second, Mrs. Josie.
Thank you, Josie.
I assume Annie's just going to go over this amendment really quickly and explain each one, perhaps.
Okay, so before us, we have a motion been made and seconded to amend the budget. Six different items. Annie, you want to
discuss? I kind of went over it already, but basically that's in regards to the community assistance and the Nelson Lagoon revenue sharing that came in. The state gave us the incorrect number, which I got the correct number in May. mid-May, so that just makes that adjustment. And then the last four items that are changed just are by default. By changing any number in that, it changes the revenue, the general fund, the total expenditures, et cetera. So, but the good news is that we do get to move less from savings, which is fantastic. So I don't have any other comments unless there's questions. Thank you.
Assembly, any questions on the amendment? Paul?
Patty, under the first item under expenditures, it went from $10,609 to $15,789. What was that for again, that extra
$5,100? I believe you're referencing the Nelson Lagoon revenue sharing. So the state had told us we'd get $10,609 but in February, but they'll actually get the $15,879,000. So that makes that adjustment. And that just is money that passes through the borough and then we pass on to Nelson Lagoon.
It's just because we were working off the projected and they came up with the asking, so it just raised.
Thank you.
Other questions? Okay, hearing none, call the question on the amendment to the ordinance 2504.
Jim?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, thank you. So before us, we have the newly amended ordinance 2504 back before us. Are there any other questions or comments on it, Paul?
I just a quick summary of last meeting and this meeting. It seems to be a responsible budget. We made cuts where we needed to, and I don't have any major objections to adopting the budget. Thank you.
Okay. Other comments or questions from the assembly?
This is Brenda. I'd like to thank Annie and Jackie for all. Man, that's a lot of work, and to put that together and have it refined with bringing forth what insurance is and then this amendment. I thank them very much for all their hard work and everybody else who is included.
Okay. Other comments?
Chris here. I do know what Brenda said. I'm also happy with how things turned out with the legislature too. I know we had some uncertainties at our last meeting. I'm also happy to see the $2,000 go back to be able to fully fund KSDP of the $10,000. And so thank you to Jackie and to Annie for putting together this budget. So thanks.
Okay, other comments? Okay, hearing none, question on the main motion?
Just a second. Marisbach, we still need to do the public hearing.
I'm sorry?
We still need to open up for a public hearing.
Oh. See? You guys don't leave us without a clerk. Quit doing that. Okay. Well, before we go into questions on the main motion, is there any public comment? Going once, twice, public hearing is now closed. Main motion is back before the assembly. Question on the main motion.
Tom?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. We are down to resolutions. So before us, we have resolution 2557 authorizing the mayor to appropriate the FY26 permanent fund earnings to cover a portion of the FY26 budget deficit. Need a motion and a second?
I'll make a motion, Josie.
Thank you.
Mrs. Brendel, second.
Thanks, Brenda. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Officer Back in Assembly, Resolution 2557 is before you. As you know, the borough is authorized, or the Assembly is authorized, to appropriate funds from the permanent fund account to the general fund. This year, the FY26 amount that can be withdrawn is $1,816,333. Every year, we do pass a resolution to memorialize this, how we distribute the money or appropriate the money. This year, per the budget that just passed, these funds will be used to cover a portion of the borough's FY26 projected deficit. So this resolution is before you to memorialize that appropriation. And with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Questions for Annie? Hearing none. Question on the motion?
Jim?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, thank you. Before us, we're on Resolution 2558, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract with Marisco to provide construction services for the King Cove School water piping repairs project in an amount not to exceed $775,000. Need a motion and a second?
This is Chris. I make a motion that we bring Resolution 2558 to the floor for discussion.
This is Brendel, second.
Thank you. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Ostenbach, before you use Resolution 2558. For several years, the borough and the King Cove School maintenance staff have worked to address piping issues and failures throughout the school. To address these issues, the borough did enter into a contract with Dow to provide project management, owner's representation, and construction management services for the King Cove School water piping repairs project in amount not to exceed $77,156. Part of Dow's scope of work was to provide a competitive request for proposal solicitation package, which they did issue or advertise, I guess, on April 11th, 2025. We held a pre-proposal meeting on April 21st, 2025, and the deadline for proposals was April 28th, 2025, or sorry, the deadline for questions was April 28th, 2025, and then the proposals were due on May 2nd. On May 2nd, the board received one proposal from Amoresco. The selection committee did review the proposal in the amount of $595,125. The selection committee determined that this company was a qualified respondent and the cost was within the opinion of probable cost. On May 9th, a notice of intent to award was issued to Amoresco that stated the notice of intent to proceed could not be issued out without receiving Assembly approval at today's meeting, and had a few other requirements. Borough Administration is recommending funding the project in the amount of the $595,125 and include about $179,000 contingency for this project just in case they find things throughout the life of the project. Funds are available for this in the deferred maintenance line item, and if all the funds are not used, they'll remain in that account and can be used for another project. With that, administration does recommend approval of this resolution, and if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions for Annie?
Well, Jim, the school is relatively new. What was the piping problem?
There are pinhole leaks throughout the entire school. About 3 years ago, I think it was 3 years ago, time's flying, we did another piping repair project, and this one still needed to be completed. They have toboggans up there catching water. It's causing further damage. So the pipes are basically corroding. So they'll be replaced with PEX pipe instead of copper.
All the conversation we had.
So we have a, if we pass this resolution, we already have agreement on the timeline when they would start and when they would finish?
That the timeline's not totally confirmed, but basically after this meeting, we'll be entering into a contract probably early next week so they can order equipment and get out there and get this work completed this summer. I think the deadline will be August, like the end of August. So as soon, if this is approved, we'll be signing the contract and getting, they'll start ordering parts immediately.
It would seem that we would try to make sure in writing there's an agreement that completes at least 2 or 3 weeks before the school starts in case there's any problems. It won't interrupt the school year.
The superintendent has stated that if work's occurring during school hours, that it won't be a problem. But we're shooting to get it done by the end of August. That's
cool. And finally, I just want an additional comment is that we're pushing close to $1 million for water line, which seems kind of high, but maybe nowadays, I didn't know PEX was that high, but there's a lot of linear feet, I think, in the school. And we need the school to be fixed, so I won't belabor the resolution, but I'm supporting. Thank you.
Other comments?
Can I make one more? This is Annie.
Sure.
Just also to keep in mind, we have followed the deed procedures, the State of Alaska Department of Early Education Department procedures through this. So we will be submitting a grant application for capital improvement project reimbursement. For this, we've had the state review the proposals. They've reviewed everything we've done all along the way. So we've been doing that with the intent to request funding back from the state if it's funded at the legislative level. So we've been doing that purposefully to get hopefully reimbursed.
Okay. Other comments? Hearing none. Question on motion?
Paul?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, thank you. And our last resolution is resolution 2559. Authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a memorandum of understanding between the Illusions East Borough and the City of King Cove to complete the appraisal for the King Cove Access Project. Need a motion and a second?
Mr. Chris, I make a motion that we bring resolution 2559 to the table for discussion.
This is Brunel, second.
Okay, thank you, guys. Annie?
Yes, Mayor, after back in assembly, resolution 2559 is before you. In 2019-2020, a third party appraisal was conducted by McSwain and Associates for the King Cove Access Road. When this occurred, the borough and the city of King Cove entered into a memorandum of understanding to complete the appraisal, which outlined the roles and responsibilities for both parties. Earlier this month, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service asked the city and the borough if they would be willing to pay for an updated appraisal for the new pending land exchange agreement. It would follow the same format as what occurred earlier in 2019-2020. By doing this, the appraisal process would be expedited and save 3 to 4 months in getting the land exchange finalized. The cost for this project is anticipated to be anywhere between $45,000 to $70,000. Administration does believe it's in the party's best interest to enter into an MOU to lay out the duties and limitations for each party in regard to the appraisal. Per the MOU, the borough would bear the actual cost of the appraisal after the work has been completed, and the assembly would authorize the mayor to agree to pay up to $70,000 for the work. The city would select and contract with an appropriate appraiser in compliance with the city's procurement procedures and relevant U.S. and Alaska law. The proposed rules are outlined here in the agenda statement for you, but it's basically exactly the same as what we did last time, except for number 11, which says it would be not in excess of $70,000. The borough has funds available in the borough's King Cove Access Project designated legislative grant to pay for the appraisal. Administration does recommend entering into an MOU with the city so they can complete the appraisal for the road. With that, if there's any questions, please let me know.
Thank you. Any questions?
Paul? Yeah, about three or four quick questions. It looks like, you know, we don't have to approve this. However, it moves the timeline potentially up a bit if everything else lines up, which is fine. This doesn't exactly decide the route and those kind of issues, but the biggest problem that no one's addressed and no one's willing to address, and it's not a secret, is the wilderness aspect. And so when this study kind of have options of what it would cost to build through the wilderness, and or there's an option to build it outside the wilderness, would this study go into that? Because the wilderness aspect alone, I'll guarantee something. This will all really guarantee we're going to be in court longer than any of our lifespans on a wilderness part of a lawsuit. There'll be many lawsuits, but that's a great big one. And I don't see anybody on our side trying to address that. I'm just talking to myself, perhaps. That's fine. And then the legal funds as we move along, I guess we're going to find out how we're going to pay for our legal and all the other things, as well as, but this doesn't, I guess the specific question is, this study won't tell us who's actually going to pay for the road. That's yet to be determined, and how we're going to go about doing that. So anyway, that's all the only points I wanted to bring up. Thank you, Annie.
So I'll try to address each point. This appraisal is just updating what's currently been done. So it's for the road that's been proposed, and this is actually just for the land exchange. So this is for the exchange between the King Cove Corporation and the federal government. So without having Gary here, I can't answer all these questions exactly, but I would assume that means if the exchange occurs, that it would be outside the wilderness. It would be owned by the King Cove Corporation. So just to state, this is for the new pending land exchange that is being currently discussed at U.S. Fish and Wildlife. So I think that might have answered all your questions. But I do think that this will definitely expedite and save a lot of time. We currently do have the money available in this designated legislative grant from the state, which I would actually love to spend some money out of, so we don't have to argue that we still need it every single year. So I would still recommend moving forward with this. Thank you.
And I think, Annie, maybe to add that a little bit, currently one of the things that we're looking closely at now is under President Trump, on his first day in office, he signed that one executive order, and the King Cove Cold Bay Road was specifically mentioned in there. And they're currently looking at going back to the Bernhardt decision.
Which decision?
The Bernhardt decision, the one the Secretary of Interior signed with Della, and I was down there back then. And then when the new Secretary of Interior came on board, they nixed that one. And anyway, in that one, I think the basic center line was already in there, and they were doing some work on with engineers finding the center line and locating gravel pits and that type of stuff. So hopefully we're going to go back to that, and it's not going to require another NEPA. I think that's right, Danny.
Yeah, I think you're correct.
Well, so that first, that one, two, three, the fourth paragraph under the narrative, before roles and responsibilities, the second to last sentence says the city would select and contract with the appropriate appraiser. The borough spending the money, what would the argument be for the borough selecting the appropriate appraiser? Why are we deferring that decision to the city of King Cove? Is there a simple answer for that?
And that's what we did last time, and it worked, and then we just get billed directly and pay for it to McSwain and Associates. So, I mean, I have absolutely no problem going this route, but I mean, I suppose the borough could do it, but I think it would just be faster and more expeditious if the city did it.
Well, and not only that, the city of King Cove, their city manager, for every meeting we sit in on, I think he sits on a 5 or 6 to keep up on all this stuff. So it would be, I would just assume see it stay the way it is. He has a lot more, he had a lot more time spent in than any of us do. Other questions? Okay. So, if there's no other questions, one question on resolution 2559.
Josie?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, thank you. So we're down to old business. First item on the agenda is a Falls Pass Airport discussion. Tom brought it up at the last meeting, and I'm going to let Tom speak on it some. He's got something.
I really don't have anything. We have a meeting at the city office on Tuesday, and I wanted to share this with the city council. So we talked about a couple of different locations, but we haven't come up with anything new for the assembly in writing. So I guess maybe by the next regular meeting we'll have something. But there is some things, I think, in D.C. that we can look into. I think I mentioned this to Annie a while back. Maybe talk to our lobbyists in D.C. I talked to C.J. Zane from APICTA's lobbyist when I was in Anchorage. And he says there might be some monies through an innovative readiness program, training program run by the Department of Defense. But that's all I know.
Okay, I think that's the one where they come in and, you know, they build roads, what have you, as practice for their, like, CBs and the Army. Yeah, Department Army.
Yeah. And I can fill in a little bit. When I was in Ketchikan that one summer, they were building the road across the other island, and they had a couple landing craft, and they did an okay job, took time, and it was somebody else paid for it, so that was a good deal, I think. But I would, Tom, I think of, like you, I think this, everybody probably thinks this airport could be darn important, but right this month, how are workers getting into Falls Pass? Is it by boat or by small airplane? How is it everybody getting into Falls Pass right now?
Mostly by small airplane.
I'm sorry.
Flying it.
Flying it. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. You know, Tom, one thing too, you guys may think about up there tribal-wise. Remember years ago here in Sandpoint, they had a YS-11 hit a seagull or two, I guess, and they took the landing gear off. They pushed the yoke down, apparently, and anyway, land shorted the runway and knocked the landing gear off. And the FAA got upset, so told the community that they needed to find a new place for a landfill. So now our landfill is basically 3 miles out east of town. But to do it, we had to build a road first, and the tribe worked with BIA and their roads department. And so basically, BIA paid for the road through the tribe, and we hired, I think we had like 57 people at one time total working on the road, locals, and everybody got trained and ran all the equipment. So we did the whole road in the community, basically with engineers from BIA that came in and set the center lines. And we did it that way. So the road was in place, and then once it got in place, and then the city, through their grants that they got, whatever other monies that they used, put in a landfill. So I'm just saying, it might be another thing to look at is to maybe talk to the BIA, their roads program, people at BIA, to see if they also may have funding to do this part. Because building things backwards, like we did in Actan, like put a runway on another island without access to it, you know, stuff like that. I think it needs to be built the right way. So if you're going to find a place to put it, you need to get a center line and figure out what that road is going to cost, to where you're going, who owns the property, and, you know, if there's wetlands, how you got to get there first. But anyway, that would be my suggestion.
We got a corporation has subsurface rights to all our lands. The lands we're looking at is on corporation land. And the spot we're looking at is probably 4 miles away. So,
that's okay. Yeah. So anyway, yeah. And if, you know, for now, if we need to, when you guys get something that you're looking at that we could help out on, we can talk about it again. Anybody else have comments on this? Go ahead, Jim.
At this time, there's the runway improvement project going on in Falls Path still.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about, I think there's, correct me if I'm wrong, Andy, but it's around $30 million worth of improvements on the runway they have.
Thanks, though. Hope that will
no
for the time being.
No, what?
No, that was $30 million.
Annie, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm here. It's about $38-35 million, I think. It's to put new gravel down and fix the culvert and some of the erosion issues that they're facing currently on the existing runway.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think it's going to happen in 2028 right now.
Yeah. I think that one in King Cole, aren't they going to try and do them both at the same time to cut down on mob and demob or something, if that's still in the works?
I think so. I think King Cove's scheduled to be 2027, so they're trying to expedite Falls Pass so they could do them at the same time, but that's not guaranteed.
Yeah. Okay. Other comments? Okay. City of Cold Bay PFAS update.
Mayor Osbeck, at the last assembly meeting, there was a question regarding the PFAS issue in Cold Bay. In here is the information that was provided to me by Lori Pierce, who's their city administrator. Unfortunately, she couldn't be here today because Ocean Airways didn't fly yesterday, so she had to get out today. She flew out today, so she can't be here presently. But I'll just read this for the record. Basically, the filtration system is in and has been up and running since mid-January. The city was sent in 3 rounds of testing. Both rounds received were below the limits. The city is currently waiting for the third round of results. This month, They have also sent a round of testing for the city storage tank to see what the levels the tank is at. They're currently waiting for those results as well. Currently, the city is devising a plan to flush the lines, which are pending the results of the tank test. If the tank test results come back low, then they will start flushing. If not, they will continue to drain the tank and fill it until they get acceptable results. There's still a long road ahead, and the city will stay on bottled water until the tank and lines are at a non-detect or below the maximum level of 4 parts per trillion. So that's just an update that was requested at the last meeting, and I wanted to share that.
Okay. Questions, Brandon?
Just a quick question. Are they using all the wells, or how many wells, or which well are they using?
I don't know the answer to that, but I think just one. Not sure which, and we can answer that question. For